Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Jim Jarmusch Jukebox. Yeah, we've done one of these episodes before where we picked the Coen brothers and listened to the pre-existing songs they've used in their films, which is a way of looking at how using songs can be effective in a particular director's movies. And today we're going to go back to this idea. We will see how the very indie director, Jim Jarmusch, has used songs in his films. I think Jarmusch will be an enjoyable subject for this. He's a master at deploying songs, sometimes fairly obscure ones, in order to impart mood and substance. Now, there are a lot of post-1970 or so filmmakers who do this. You know, like with Wes Anderson, you feel like he's scattering around the needle drops like someone who really, really wants you to hear his music collection. With Martin Scorsese, you're aware of how strongly he feels about the music of the baby boomer years. And he takes an almost operatic approach to placing big songs in his films. With Jarmusch, you feel like you're in the presence of someone who has a very particular taste in supremely cool music, and yet he doesn't come across as trying to impress you with how cool he is. He just is cool, and he's sharing his passions. And it's good that we're calling this the Jim Jarmusch Jukebox, because Jarmusch actually includes a jukebox on screen in a number of his movies, as though nodding to this important influence on his work. So, by listening to some of these songs from Jarmusch's films, I think we'll really get into the ambience of his particular world. He has said, films are related to music because of the way we receive them. A film passes in front of you in its own time frame, like a piece of music. And he's certainly put those two things together as well as anybody. And then at the end of our show for the trailer, I've got a cut where one of Jarmusch's fave musicians does a madcap variation on an old classic. Jim Jarmusch was born in 1953 outside Cleveland, Cuyahoga Falls, I believe. And along with other things, that means that he's one of the strangely numerous artists who were influenced by the Cleveland late-night horror movie host named Goulardi. Filmmaker Paul Thomas Anderson, by the way, is the son of Ernie Anderson, who played Goulardi on TV. Anyway, Jarmusch's artistic ambitions had him, for one thing, getting out of Ohio as soon as he could, he said, and pursuing literature and music. We're going to talk about his own music career later, and eventually it led him to New York and film school at NYU, and the chance to make his feature film debut as a graduate student. This is a movie called Permanent Vacation. Got shown around at film festivals in 1980 or so, a very respectable effort for a graduate project, for sure. And then just at the moment the American indie movement was starting to give itself a name, Jarmusch's second feature, Stranger Than Paradise, came out in 1984 and garnered a lot of extremely well-deserved acclaim. Produced on a shoestring, but was a big, big hit on the art house circuit at that time, and the National Society of Film Critics gave it their Best Film Award. Movie has a score by John Lurie, who also stars in it. But since our approach today, we're talking about pre-existing songs, so we're going to note that the movie's unofficial theme song is I Put a Spell on You by Screamin' Jay Hawkins, which pops up in the soundtrack more than once. So let's get our music started here today by appreciating that gem from the soundtrack of Stranger Than Paradise.
I put a spell on you. because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up? I lie. Yeah, I can't stand. Woo! No running around. I can't stand. I know put me down. I put a spell on you.
Yes, that's the inimitable Screamin' Jay Hawkins doing I Put a Spell on You, written by Mr. Hawkins and Herb Slotkin, a song that features prominently in Jim Jarmusch's film Stranger Than Paradise. That movie is partly about a young woman from Eastern Europe who visits New York City, and it kind of becomes her theme song in a way. It seems to represent for her some idea of America. When her cousin tells her he doesn't like that kind of music, she says, "It's Screamin' Jay Hawkins and he's a wild man, so bug off." And it's really a useful counterpoint how crazy and exotic the song is in comparison to the rather, you know, sort of going nowhere lives that the protagonists of the movie have, and then Jarmusch's own deadpan style of filmmaking. Hawkins, by the way, would act in a future Jarmusch film, Mystery Train, which is one of the many examples of Jarmusch casting musicians in acting roles in his films. And that brings us to his 1986 film, Down by Law, where Jarmusch not only brought back John Lurie to act and compose the music again, but also cast Tom Waits in one of the lead roles. The swampy Louisiana atmosphere is helped along by the music, getting great use of the Tom Waits song Jockey Full of Bourbon, which plays as the film opens to a beautiful series of tracking shots of New Orleans and Bayou Country locations.
I can't.
Tom Waits singing his song Jockey Full of Bourbon from his album Rain Dogs, and a couple years later from the soundtrack of Down by Law. That movie's a comedy in which Waits and John Lurie play convicts who make an escape, and the third member of their group is Roberto Benigni, kind of a wild man himself, completely unknown in the U.S. when this movie came out. And when they come to the house of a woman living in the bayou, who's played by Benigni's real-life wife, Nicoletta Braschi, there is this wonderful scene of the two lovers dancing to a jukebox song as the other fellas look on. And Jarmusch just lets the two-minute song play in its entirety in a single shot. Dancers in the foreground, the other guys in the background. It's a lovely grace note, kind of a typical Jarmusch setup. Here's that song, It's Raining, performed by Irma Thomas.
It's raining. Like it's gonna rain all night, and this is the time I'd love to be holding you tight, but I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here. I wish the night would hurry up and end, my dear. It's raining so hard, it's really coming down. Time. I'd love to be holding you tight. I guess I'll just go crazy tonight. It's raining so hard, brings back memories of the time when you were here with me, counting every drop about to blow my top. I wish this rain would hurry up and stop. I've got the blues so bad I can hardly catch my breath. The harder it rains, the worse it gets. This is the time I love to be holding you tight.
That's a wonderful sequence from Down by Law, featuring the song It's Raining, written by Alan Toussaint, performed by Irma Thomas. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm the host, Robert Horton. That's why I'm the person talking. And we are enjoying the Jim Jarmusch Jukebox. That's songs that have featured in that director's films. Now, the last one you heard is literally played on a jukebox in the movie. Jarmusch's next film had a musical title, Mystery Train, and was set in a Music City, Memphis. When you're in the movie, you hear the Elvis Presley version of that title song, and also the original version of the song by Junior Parker. And that's the one we're going to hear now.
Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Train I ride, 16 coaches long. Well, that long black train carried my baby from home. Train, train, coming on round the bend. Train, train, baby, it's gonna do it again.
Mystery Train, written and performed by Junior Parker, which gave Jim Jarmusch the title for his 1989 film. Lots of music in that one and lots of roles taken by musicians. As we were saying before, Screamin' Jay Hawkins is in that film, but also Joe Strummer from The Clash and the one and only Rufus Thomas, the great Memphis musician who has a song on the soundtrack as well. Let's enjoy that one. It happens to be another Train song, The Memphis Train. Memphis Train, performed by the irrepressible Rufus Thomas, written by Rufus Thomas, Mack Rice, and Willie Sparks. Like many of Jarmusch's films, Mystery Train is about people who feel unconnected with where they are. But the music in his movies can be a connecting thread. Sometimes it represents home. Certainly it represents an idea of America for foreigners and locals alike. Jarmusch's 1991 film, Night on Earth, one of his lesser movies, I think, but it does have original music by Tom Waits, including an impressive song that sets the tone over the opening credits. Here's Back in the Good Old World from Night on Earth.
Back a boy, the moon was pearl, the sun a yellow gold. When I was a man, the wind blew cold, the hills were upside down. But now that I have gone from here, there's no place I'd rather be than to float my chances on the tide back in the good old world.
Tom Waits there, who else really, with Back in the Good Old World, which he wrote with Kathleen Brennan for the movie Night on Earth. That's a movie that feels like Jarmusch, it almost feels like he's maybe repeating some ideas in that one, maybe grasping for something a little bit. And that feeling was wiped away with his next feature, Dead Man, somewhat psychedelic black and white Western from 1995. I think it's a remarkable film. I'm not going to play a selection from that because there's really nothing jukeboxy about it, but we'll mention it just because it does have a fantastic original score by Neil Young, which was improvised on solo guitar while Young watched the movie. And this gives us an excuse to mention that Jarmusch has directed some straight-up music features, including Neil Young's very loud concert film, Year of the Horse, and the fun rock documentary Gimme Danger, which tells the saga of the Stooges and Iggy Pop. And that movie, by the way, includes an anecdote about how the band's manager had to call Mo Howard of the Three Stooges to see if it was okay to use the name the Stooges. Oh, how I would like to overhear that phone conversation. Anyway, it's a great movie, very fun movie, Gimme Danger. Back to the Jim Jarmusch jukebox, and another film that indicated that Jarmusch would not be just the guy making those kind of droll and ironic films of his early days. Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai, is a 1999 film that revolved around a hitman played by Forrest Whitaker, who styles himself after the samurai code. Film's music is by the RZA, one of the founders of the Wu-Tang Clan. And this selection is called Opening Theme / Raise Your Sword. It's a jaunty little tune that becomes associated with the movie's Zen hero.
Thank you.
Music from Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai, composed by The RZA, who created the original music for a film that also has a lot of hip-hop cuts included on its soundtrack. You're listening to The Music and the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we're considering Jim Jarmusch's Jukebox, that is, the songs that Jarmusch has dropped into his films to create mood and meaning. I have to confess that a couple of the films that Jarmusch made in the middle of his career took his minimalist mode to a place that almost threatened to become a vanishing point, let's say, despite the appeal of really cool soundtracks. One of those was The Limits of Control, 2009. I'll talk a little bit about that later. Also, Broken Flowers from 2005 with Bill Murray. Broken Flowers brought the music of the Ethiopian jazz composer Mulatu Astatke to a wider audience, along with some pop selections on that soundtrack. There are a handful of this musician's tracks accompanying Bill Murray's picaresque journey. In the movie, Jeffrey Wright plays Murray's neighbor, and he makes a road tape for Murray to play on his trip because the songs are going to help his process and help his mood. That seems like a very Jarmusch kind of idea. You know, it sounds like his own approach to making movie soundtracks in a way. Anyway, here's one of those songs, Yakirmo So from Broken Flowers. Thank you. That track is called Yekirmo So by Mulatu Astatke from Jim Jarmusch's film Broken Flowers, a movie that I confess I did not fall in love with, but I can't say the same for Only Lovers Left Alive, 2013 vampire movie that I think is one of Jarmusch's absolute best. In this dark but beautiful movie, Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston play centuries-old vampire lovers who cling not only to their long lives, but also to the vestiges of great culture, partly embodied by the movie's love of music. The action takes place in Tangier and Detroit, because why not? And the soundtrack brings us a lot of jukebox cuts, but also Jarmusch's own musical composition efforts, as the original soundtrack is credited to Squirrel. That's S-Q-U-R-L with an umlaut over the U. Something, you know, a little bit whimsical about that. That's the band Jarmusch founded with Carter Logan, the producer. And so along with a lot of instrumental music from Squirrel, they also provide the backing to a very slowed down version of an old Wanda Jackson country song, given vocals here by Madeline Folan. This is Funnel of Love from Only Lovers Left Alive. That song is Funnel of Love, written by Charlie McCoy and Kent Westbury for an old Wanda Jackson track that's considerably livelier than that one, but kind of slowed down and reimagined for the film Only Lovers Left Alive by Squirrel. That is Jim Jarmusch's own band with vocals by Madeline Folan. So Squirrel, I feel like I should say it like that because it's all capital letters and there's umlaut in the middle. Anyway, Squirrel contributes some very heavy, cool sounds to this movie. There are also a lot of jukebox moments. And plus, there's this one standout, kind of stop-the-show on-screen performance as the vampires drop by a little Tangier club where the Lebanese singer Yasmin Hamdan is performing with a small ensemble. Here's that song. It's called Hal, another great musical moment from Only Lovers Left Alive.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know if that's really a jukebox moment because the song is performed on screen, but that is Yasmin Hamdan performing her composition Hal from Only Lovers Left Alive, a kind of a dreamy, druggy sort of moment that suits the feeling of the film. You've wandered into the music and the movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we're sorting through the songs of Jim Jarmusch's films. One true jukebox cut from that movie, Only Lovers Left Alive, is a scene where Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston put a 45 on the record player and dance to this song, Trapped by a Thing Called Love by Denise LaSalle. The song is called Trapped by a Thing Called Love, written and sung by Denise LaSalle. A lovely moment in Only Lovers Left Alive as our two vampires, who are named Adam and Eve, surrounded by artifacts of the analog world, dance to a 45 spinning on the turntable. Come to think of it, it's a little bit like that scene we described earlier from Down by Law, where a song plays out as two people dance. In my review of this movie, I said, the timeless vampires seem depressed about what has happened to the world. Humans, Adam and Eve use the generic term zombies to describe the rest of us, have made a terrible botch out of such promise. All one can do is cling to culture and wait out the decline, holding tight to the books and vintage LPs and centuries-old apparel that serve as markers of a better time. Well, Jarmusch's next film, Patterson, from 2016, showed him at the top of his creative powers, I think. One of my favorite movies of the last decade. Whimsical, yet definitely serious portrait of a bus driver in Patterson, New Jersey, who is also a poet, and who is also named Patterson. This character, played by Adam Driver, has a steadfastly modest life. He couldn't be further from the decadent vampires of Only Lovers Left Alive, but he's a real artist. His life is arranged around rituals of getting up and going to work and walking the dog every night. Because, you know, a bus driver must be attuned to schedules. And as he stops in for a beer at the local tavern every night during the dog walking, we hear snatches on the, of course, there's a jukebox there, and we hear bits of little songs there. This is a tasty example of one of those things that plays in the background. A tune called I'm Still a Man, Lord Have Mercy, sung by Willie West.
so many times before. In and out of my life, like a revolving door. I'm still a man, can't take it no more. Lord have mercy, I'm still a man. Oh, I'm still a man. I've got my pride. I know you cheated, and I know you lied. Can you hear me now? Ooh. I'm still a man. You walked out on me with my best friend. Now you're begging me, baby, to take you back again. No, I just can't do it, girl. I just can't do it, girl. I'm still a man. Now I still got my pride. You broke me down. I nearly lost my mind. It took too long to see you're the cheating kind. I'm still a man.
From the soundtrack of Patterson, that's I'm Still a Man, Lord Have Mercy, sung by a soul singer named Willie West, who's about 80 now and has been recording in recent years for a label in Finland, because that's what music is like, which explains the writing credits on this track, which are to Sami Kantalinen, Seppo Salmi, and Jukka Sarapaa. Patterson also has more spacey incidental music by Squirrel, very nicely arranged around the movie, as well as a version of I've Been Working on the Railroad, sung with a Persian lilt by Adam Driver's co-star, the Iranian actress Golshifteh Farahani. Typical Jim Jarmusch soundtrack, in other words. Well, that's our trailer music, and for our trailer selection today, I'm going to go back to a movie that we kind of skipped over in our quasi-chronology here. This is Jarmusch's 2003 release, Coffee and Cigarettes, and it's kind of an anomalous film in his work because it's made up of short episodes, a few of which were shot occasionally over the years before the release of the film, and then Jarmusch realized, you know, if I put a bunch of these together and shot a few new ones, I could make a feature out of it. So there's Coffee and Cigarettes. There's a great scene, one of the best scenes in the movie, has Iggy Pop in a dive bar with Tom Waits. They've just met each other. It's kind of an awkward cup of coffee first meeting. And Iggy Pop looks at the jukebox and he says, "Hey, you know what? There are no Tom Waits songs on this thing." And that's really not the right thing to say at that point. That jukebox, yet another one in a Jarmusch film, happens to be playing a stream of Hawaiian steel guitar numbers. But we're going to play a track that features Iggy Pop himself doing his own spin on the classic Louie Louie, as used on the soundtrack of Coffee and Cigarettes.
And now, the news.
Just wanna sing Louie Louie, Louie Louie. Whoa, baby, I gotta go now. Louie Louie, whoa, baby, I really gotta go now. There's a fine little girl, she's waiting for me. I'm as bent as Dostoevsky. I think about the meaning of my life again, and I have to sing Louie Louie again. Louie Louie, whoa baby, I gotta go now. Louie Louie, whoa baby, I really gotta go now.
Oh, let's get you right now.
I mean, I'm trying to do right, but hey, life after Bush and Gorbachev, the wall is down, but something is lost. Turn on the news, it looks like a movie. It makes me wanna sing Louie Louie.
A sturdy rock classic, Louie Louie, written by Richard Berry and interpreted there by Iggy Pop from the soundtrack of Jim Jarmusch's film Coffee and Cigarettes, a title that includes two of the director's signature fetishes. While music is vital to Jarmusch's creative process, as he's attested, he continues to use musicians as actors in his film. Most recent feature, the daffy yet unmistakably angry zombie comedy The Dead Don't Die, includes Iggy Pop, Selena Gomez, RZA, and Tom Waits as Hermit Bob, a name that I'm going to adopt for myself, I think, in its cast. Has a made-to-order theme song, by the way, by Sturgill Simpson, which keeps playing on the radio in the movie. Characters keep acknowledging it as the theme song, as though they're aware that they're living in a fairly silly horror picture. The attention that Jarmusch gives to his song roster is typical of the care he takes with each of his films. His feeling for how art affects us, for the importance of a down-home country song or a punk tune, or the ambient noises of the drone rock he creates himself, has become one of his calling cards. And it's been fascinating to watch how an underground artist now makes movies that feel like little islands of civilization. We'll leave off with another side of Jarmusch's music in these recent films, that side that favors the more drone-like sounds of his work. This one that we're going to listen to now is from his 2009 film, The Limits of Control, another wandering film. I tend to like understated films, but Jarmusch perhaps underplays it just a little bit here. This is a track called Holman's Importance 1, The Driver, performed by the band Earth, with a guest guitar provided by Bill Frisell. Has a kind of an acid western feel that I think suits the movie. My name is Robert Horton. I want to thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.